Turn with me, if you will, please, to the sixth chapter of Matthew, the middle chapter of the Sermon on the Mount. And I'd like to begin reading with verse 19. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Shall we pray? Our Father, we ask that you will meet us at our point of need this evening. We pray that you will suit a perfect blessing to each of us where we are. Speak to us through your word. Challenge us, we pray, to our very best. Touch our lips to speak, our ears to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. E. Stanley Jones says that Matthew 5:48, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Matthew 5:48 is the text or the keynote of the Sermon on the Mount. But if Matthew 5:48, the challenge to holiness, is the keynote of the sermon, then Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Matthew 6:33 is the practical advice from Jesus that enables us to make 5:48, be ye therefore perfect, more than just an elusive goal, something that we shoot at but never reach. In the woods of Maine this summer, as I was praying, asking God to help me to set up a preaching program for the church year. Churches are funny. Their years always begin in September, no matter whether you're a college church or whether you're not. And I always like to go away to Maine and fish until I get so tired of fishing that, well, I never do get really that far along. And then I like to get off and pray and ask God to guide. And increasingly, I felt that the emphasis we needed for the year was an emphasis of challenge to see what the kingdom of God really is. I think we've had enough of soft religion, enough of appeal to please come to Jesus and he'll meet your need. And I tell you, I want to explore for myself. This is not a finished program by any means. I have a very good idea of where we're going. And after today, we won't be mentioning the fact that this is a theme. But I want to explore. I want to soak in. I want to meditate upon Matthew 6:33 until it literally becomes a part of my being. What does it mean to seek first the kingdom of God? What does it mean to seek his righteousness? And I just have a feeling that if I personally can get a small fraction of what that really means during this year, it's going to be a great year and going to be a profitable year. So I would just challenge you throughout this school year, even though we won't be in church year, even though we won't be announcing it every Sunday, but the theme will be the majesty of the King, the King of our kingdom, and what the kingdom of heaven is like. The theme will be to put first the kingdom of God. The theme will be to rise to the challenge, to dare to live and invest our lives in the kingdom of God. This evening, I'd like to look just basically at this passage of Scripture that begins, as Jesus says, we must focus our lives. Our eyes must be single. No man can serve two masters. The Christ life within has to have a sharply focused supreme purpose. Any life that achieves anything that's worth anything has to be a sharply focused life. It has to have a focus. And I call it an agape. I know I'm different from most pastors. They say agape is heavenly love. But the way I understand what an agape is something that you love so much that you center your whole life around it, and you're willing to sacrifice everything else for it. After all, the Bible says agape not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man agape the world, the agape of the Father is not in him. And I don't mean to be talking double talk, but let me just say that any time you achieve anything, it's because you just about half crazy about that thing. I can think of students that were my classmates when I was a student here, and I came, I hate to tell you, 31 years ago, next Wednesday, I started out in a Plymouth car from Akron, Ohio, 800 miles away. But I had some classmates that when I was out on the ball field, I'm not going to tell you all about what I was doing, but anyway, I'd say, come on, Bob Murky, let's go play ball. And he'd say, I have to study. Oh, didn't Bob Murky like to play ball? Of course he did. But he had an agape at that time, an agape to Christ, but he also had a goal. He was going to be a medical doctor. And even as a student, that goal was out there until he would give up other things and let them slough off. And even though he could hear the kids out on the ball field, he was up there. He was setting aside all else in order to attain a supreme goal. Went through McGill University and invested his life. Is investing his life. He's a great doctor and a great surgeon in South Africa today. But Jesus challenges us to make this agape, this first supreme goal, his kingdom and his righteousness. And even if you don't have a sharply defined career goal, you say, well, I'm not sure what I'm going to be. Well, I'll be honest with you, I don't know what I'm going to be doing 5 years or 10 years from now either. I have some ideas what I'd like to do. But I can sharpen my focus in that I am going to put first the kingdom of God. I am going to put his righteousness first. Jesus said, if you will do this, if you'll make it a decision of your will, if you'll follow through with your whole being, everything else that's necessary will be added unto you. The second thing I see about this text is the fact that there are secondary important needs, and these needs will make sharp demands. Jesus says some pretty strong things here. He says, don't worry about your life. Don't worry about your body. Don't worry about what you wear. Don't worry about what you're going to eat. He doesn't mean it's not important. And if I was hungry and hadn't eaten for 2 or 3 days, maybe I wouldn't worry about it, but I'd be mighty concerned. What Jesus is saying is a major thrust of our lives. We can either make the thrust to seek first His kingdom and let Him kind of take care of these secondary things, or we can make the first thrust of our life to seek after a paycheck. And good, legitimate needs, those things that are right, family relationships and basic life needs will never be canceled out by God's kingdom, but they will be enhanced by putting first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. My second church, I had a lady who bordered on fanaticism. I don't know if I've ever met too many fanatics or not, and I'd be willing to risk one or two in order to get an amen once in a while. But, amen. But this lady said, you know, she was digging in to try and be spiritual. She had some weird ideas we won't discuss right now. But she says, I prayed for 2 or 3 hours yesterday and Jesus watched my kids. She lived on a busy highway. And I thought, you're crazy, lady. When you're a young mother, when you have these other burdens, God doesn't expect you to set them aside. He's not saying just forget about these things, but He's saying put first the kingdom of God. And Jesus dares to call us to a primary purpose. Our highest allegiance has to be the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And as individuals, we don't dare forget this focus. Jesus said, if any man come after me and hate not his father and mother. He didn't mean literally that you're going to hate them. He meant in comparison, love less. The first thing is the kingdom of God. Beyond making a living and maintaining a reputation, the thrust of our individual lives has to be, what does God want me to do in His kingdom? And if we dare to make that the thrust of our lives, the primary question of our life, God will do some exciting things with us. We all start out with that first love. We get saved. We say, this is wonderful. And then we get with older Christians, or we get with people that kind of show us how the ropes are, and we get to realize that, well, I don't need to be quite so gung-ho. I just want to say to all that, that's not true. We do have to stay gung-ho. And as churches, we need to maintain the sharp focus too. Every legitimate church or institution was called into being because it met spiritual needs, legitimate needs. And yet as churches grow and as they prosper, as God blesses them, they become more complex and they become organizations and they have committees that decide things, and that's all right. And yet churches have to decide too, are we going to stay focused in on why we're here? Kleinbell, in his basic book on pastoral counseling, many of you are familiar with it, he opens that book with a very interesting, what would you call it, an allegory or a parable? But he tells about a group of people along a rocky coast that formed a society to save lives. And their basic concern was to watch out for boats that were in trouble, ships that were in trouble. They were a soul-saving or a life-saving club, getting ahead of myself in the story. And they were good at it. And they had boats that would brave the surf, and they saved a good many lives. And finally they got the idea, let's build a little clubhouse here on the shore. And we can meet and we can have good times while we're watching. And the little clubhouse became a little larger clubhouse, and finally they began to have socials and they began to have good times. And it's evolved finally that they got so nice and they got so good that they didn't really like to bring these dripping people that they'd saved in from the ocean on their nice carpet. And finally they just gave up trying to save lives altogether and they became a social club. I don't see that as a basic threat here. And yet I do have it in the back of my mind, in the back of my heart, that every church should be a soul-saving station, a place where people who are shipwrecked and people who have trouble and people who have burdens can be brought face-to-face with Jesus. And yet we can lose that primary focus. We need to ask the question, what has God put us here on this corner to do in His kingdom? I know I'm preaching to about half of you people don't belong to Wollaston Church, but it applies to your church too. And I challenge you to go home and get out Matthew 6:33 and apply it to your personal lives. I challenge tonight myself and you to believe that a correct supreme purpose will put everything else into proper perspective. Consider what this means in our church here in Wollaston, or in your church back home. It means rethinking what it is to be a part of the kingdom of heaven, and a willingness to relate everything we do as a church to that part of the Lord's Prayer that says, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." To believe that a correct supreme purpose will put everything else into proper perspective means a rediscovering the fact that loyalty to the kingdom and loyalty to the King can't be separated in fact. And we need to lift up Jesus, not just as the Savior who came to bring us the benefits of redemption and life, but I want us to see Him this year as a majestic King of Heaven who deserves, who has the authority to demand our allegiance and our loyalty and our homage. Oh, it's wonderful to have Jesus as a friend. Praise God that He is that. And He is gentle Jesus, meek and mild, but He's also the King of Heaven, the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords. And we need to lift Him up in loyalty. And then this will also mean, as a church, we must pray to find God's unique pattern and plan for the Wollaston Church and for your church at home. And then we need to bend every program, every committee meeting, every facet of service to that seeking first the kingdom of God right here, sharpening the focus, thrusting ahead as God will make us a part of His kingdom. And then I'd like for you, lastly, this evening, to consider what this means in your personal walk with God. These are pretty bold words. To say, "I choose to put God's kingdom and His righteousness ahead of everything else in my life. I've got a lot of things making demands. I feel challenged from many sides." Jesus said, "You can only serve one master." Bold words to say, "I choose to believe that God knows my life and He knows my needs. He knows my situation. And instead of worrying, making that the major concern of my life, I will actively seek His will, His plan for my life." Bold faith to realize that sloppy lip service, half-hearted faith, some kind of a faith that isn't a faith. "Yes, Jesus died for me. I believe that He did, and therefore all my sins are forgiven. And I believe," but "believe" that's not spelled O-B-E-Y isn't true faith. Jesus said that the great majority of this world is going to be seeking a paycheck. Frankly, all too often when we read this verse, it seems to me that we say, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added." And we see it as a legitimate way. We're after the same things too, subconsciously. And what I'm saying this evening, I'm challenging myself and you to live in this verse until really all these other things, and some of them are precious and some of them are good, but until they really do become secondary, and we seek first the kingdom of God, I ask you to dare to turn this other way of thinking upside down God wants us to have fellowship with Him. He wants us to be able to walk before Him and be perfect. Matthew 5:48. I ask, will you join me in seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness as a way of life? Will you make that number one this year? Will you do it this evening? Will you do it now? I believe if you will, we can have the most exciting church year, college year, community year. We can move into a beautiful, well-appointed, tasteful, colonial, new church, and have all types and kinds of music and worship, and never slip up and miss what the basic purpose of this church is. I have a feeling this is going to be the greatest year we've ever seen. The glory of God will fill His tabernacle and fill His people and thrill us. And we won't forget, we'll be the fanciest life-saving station on the shore. But we don't care if they drip on the carpet. We'll bring them in. God will help us. Last year, the Lord helped us to add 52 members, 22 by profession of faith. I believe this year He can double that. But if we'll seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, will you join me in prayer? Lord, we've known this verse for a long time. It's not new to us. We've quoted it when we have needed clothes. We've quoted it when we've needed things to eat. Lord, we have a feeling we'll be quoting it that way again. But Lord, help us to move out of that way of interpreting it and realize that Jesus is saying, if we can really put first His kingdom, He's got things for us that we can't dream of. Lord, I pledge to You myself this evening, as You help me in my own life and as pastor of this church, I will put You first, Your kingdom first. I will seek Your righteousness, and I pray that You will add to us what You see fit to do. Bless us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.